Tommy Pearson.
Feel free to stretch and mention afterwards if you were touched or healed for those things. Really good. Two titles. The short title is Aunt Timothy. The longer title is as follows. Gleanings from Timothy's example to help us respond rather than react to life's challenges, life's opportunities, and even current events. Gleanings from Timothy's example to help us respond rather than react to life's challenges, life's opportunities, and even current events. I'll give you the scripture, verse 4 of Philippians again. It says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, along with the overseers and deacons. If you go to chapter 2, verse 19 to 24, just a couple of things about Timothy. It says like this, But I trust the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father he served with me in the gospel. Therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord, I myself shall come to you shortly. Just that phrase, and Timothy. Bear in mind, and one of the things I did after being on holiday was to very, very quickly on getting back, is go to the website and listen to Liam's talk. So, and I really, really appreciated Liam's talk and Steve McClurk's the week before. And those talks kind of give us a background and an oversight of this book. And remember, I said in the title, we want to learn how to respond rather than react. A lot of people react to life's challenges. They're caught off guard. They panic. They revert to type. They operate in the flesh. They follow the trends and the patterns that they've always followed. But there was a context to this book. There was a challenge. Christians were being persecuted. Sounds very like today, doesn't it? There was a price to pay for following Jesus. Paul was in prison, and he really loved this church in Philippi. And it's one of the most joyful books. It's full of rejoicing in spite of the challenges. And not just the challenges, but there were opportunities in this day. And we heard from Steve, I think it was, and Liam, how the whole people in authority knew why Paul was in prison. The gospel went forth all the more, not less. And I like this title. We need to learn to respond the way God wants us to respond, rather than react to life's challenges, life's opportunities, and even current offense. The first gleaning up from Timothy I want to bring forth, he was probably a much younger man than Paul. He's described as like a son to him or a child in comparison to Paul. And it says in the opening part of this book, Paul and Timothy, they were a team. So the first thing I want to point out is that Christianity is a team sport. It's not an individual sport. Even the great apostle Paul operated in team. Sometimes it was Paul and Timothy. Sometimes it was Paul and Silas. Sometimes it was Paul and Barnabas. There is a principle all throughout Scripture. God's way involves team and partnership and unity in team. And we need to see that. If you go to the very beginning, in the beginning, God himself, the triune God, operates in community and in team. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a mystery. One God, yet there's three persons. In the very heart of God is the concept of partnership, fellowship, and unity and team. When he made man, he made man, male and female, he made them two. Because there's something about partnership and team. He sent the disciples out two by two. He said, when two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst. He wrote this letter, Paul and Timothy. Our eyes need open. Here's how we need to respond rather than react in situations. that we need to guard the sense of team and the sense of unity in our relationships. If you're married this morning, do not be surprised or shocked that there is spiritual warfare against your marriage. That is normal. But something in us needs to rise up, press in God, and believe what God believes, value what God values, and protect the unity in our marriages, or in our friendships, or in our team ministry. God is very committed to the concept of team and to unity, and whether it's in the church life or ministry situations. And there is one other person knows team is important, and it's the devil. And if he can destroy marriages, destroy teams, destroy unity, destroy relationships through lack of trust, and all those kind of things, the devil will do it. The devil is a dirty fighter. And we need to respond and not react to situations in life. And we need to submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. And one of the reasons why we get shaken by news is we get a realization that life is really, really serious. But whether we hear the news or not, whether that situation had happened or not, life is still serious. There is still a spiritual battle. It's all to do with the fall of man. It's all to do with lost humanity. And it's good to respond rather than react, because it helps us to lay hold of the things that we always knew were important. They're still important. God, relationship with God, relationships with one another, and with those God has put us into partnership with, in whatever sense that is. And that word partnership comes up later in Philippians. It speaks about the church in Philippi were a fellowship or a partnership with Paul. So when the church in Philippi was doing well, Paul was doing well. When Paul was struggling, they were struggling because they were a partnership. And that's so such a principle and a value in the scripture and in the ways of God. So Timothy was a team player. And you know, it's very important that people have a personal relationship with Jesus, isn't it? One of the ways that you can check if it's real and genuine is that you keep your relationships right. See, some people have this idea, me and God, you know, and never mind everybody else. But if I love God, it will have an impact on all of my relationships. And don't be surprised, as I say, that the enemy is a dirty fighter, but God is stronger. And the spirit in us, as Pastor said, and as Rotson said, is greater than he that is in the world. So we can overcome. The second thing about Timothy is, and this is a good example for us to help us respond rather than react to life's challenges, opportunities, and even current events, is it says about Timothy in chapter 2, he was a man of proven character. And what I want to highlight here is, in God's way of thinking, character is very important. It's more important than gifting. It's more important than charismatic personality. It's more important than popularity. It's more important than being a good singer. Character is extremely important. Timothy had proven character. He was a man of integrity. He was authentic. He was the genuine article. And God is looking for that in our lives. He was a loyal man and a faithful man. And I just want to speak that out right there. One of the things we need to do to help us respond rather than react to things, highly value character. One of the features of real proven character is they're reliable and consistent no matter what happens. And I want to be like that. Esteem character in our own lives. Don't worry or panic if you find you have to change in some things. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Honor character in one another. Appreciate it in one another. Esteem it in one another. Honor character in terms of good examples in the body of Christ. One of the people I like to honor, who's no longer with us, she's enjoying her inheritance, is Eleanor McAllister. She was a person of proven character. And there was one word I always associate with Eleanor McAllister, and this is how she talked about her God. He's a faithful God. You know, and I sort of thought, that doesn't sound like a very exciting concept. He's a faithful God. I want to hear about the power of God and the deliverance of God and the majesty of God, but the faithfulness of God. But do you know what the truth was? She was faithful because God was faithful.
Right.
And faithfulness is one of the highest qualities. Faithful in marriage, faithful in friendship, faithful to the church life, faithful to the Lord, faithful in our finances, faithful in prayer, faithful in scripture, faithful in doing the will of God, day in, day out, day in, day out, faithful to the end. And we need to honor character and good examples of character, but not just when they've gone to heaven. We need to honor the models and examples of character that are still around. There's a book written about encouragement, and it was entitled, "Don't Wait Until He's Dead Before You Encourage Them." But don't wait until someone is dead before you value them in terms of their character and their consistency and celebrate those things. So don't embarrass Tommy and Ken, but they have character.
Yeah.
They really do have proven character. And I just threw that in there. That will be on the internet and everything. Right? But fasten your seatbelt, because I'm going to tell you something else about Timothy that is really, really strong, really, really radical. And before I give this one away, just to whet your appetite, I came across some material recently. Paul Crawford lent me a book by John Maxwell. I'm really enjoying it. And he was talking about personal growth and how to develop and grow as a person and personal leadership. And it's all really, really useful, good stuff. But in the early part of the book, there was one thing he said, John Maxwell, that I couldn't quite get a hold of. I couldn't quite see it or agree with it. And he said, one of the keys to personal growth and development is learn to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I thought, what on earth does that mean? Learn to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. But you see, one of the things that makes us responders rather than reactors is related to the fact that we're not afraid to be challenged. We're not afraid to face areas in our life where God wants to bring changes. We're comfortable with being uncomfortable. I've seen this in playing squash. Neil's not here today, but this is not about Neil. This is about somebody else I play with. And he generally beats me. And about a year and a half ago, and I'll tell him I'm telling this story, don't worry. A year and a half ago, I started to beat him consistently. And after one of the matches, it was really funny, he took a squash racket, threw it against the wall, and then he picked it up and he gave it to me and says, "You can have that racket, I'm never playing again." And we started to play table tennis instead. But here's the thing. He was very, very uncomfortable because a shift had taken place. But a few weeks later, he changed his mind. He got comfortable with being uncomfortable. And he took up squash again. He persisted, and he's now beating me 9 times out of 10. He could have given up. He could have surrendered. And you know, many Christians are like that. When the going gets tough, when there's a bit of pressure, when there's things that we don't understand, when there's things that really stretch us, challenge us, I want to encourage you, press in God. And here's the thing about Timothy that I find really, really radical. It's beyond where I am right now. And it says in verse 20 and 21 of chapter 2, and this may not immediately strike you, but it says, "I have no one like him who sincerely cares for you. All seek their own, not the things of Christ." I'm uncomfortable with that. Because I look at my life and I say, you know, I like to help people, but to be totally without any self-interest, to genuinely care for people, to genuinely have his interest and their interest above my own. What a pure heart. What a sincerity. What a depth of love and care and compassion. I'm really uncomfortable with that, but I'm comfortable with it because I want to be like that. I want to be pure. I want to be authentic. I want the real thing. I want to know what it means to seek the things of Christ above anything else in my life. I want to sincerely care for others. And I have to be honest. I say, Lord, I am caring for others, but my motives are all mixed at times. Sometimes I'm doing it because I get something out of it. I like to be needed. I like to get feedback. But there's something of the heart of this man that he actually sought the well-being of others with a pure heart, sincerely. Let's grow in these things. Let's develop in these things. Lord, would you do... The Bible says that he'll complete what he started. He'll purify our hearts. He'll change us. He'll transform us. The scripture you read, Pastor, follows by gazing on him, we'll be transformed into his image from one degree of glory to another. Don't stop being transformed. Don't stop growing. Don't stop going for something greater and purer and more full. Then, fourthly, if you're counting, Timothy, a really good example. It says that he had proven character. And I just underlined that word, proven. You see, he had been tested as a young man. And this is also something that I want to bring to us this morning. That sometimes we have to overcome some things on the journey of becoming all God wants us to be. Timothy had to overcome some things. How do you know that, Stephen? I think we can find out from other places in the Bible. If we go to 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, don't turn there, I'll just read it. We get some clues as to some of the things that Timothy had to overcome. And I love this man, Timothy, because I can relate to him and identify him with him. I want to be like Paul, but to be honest, I feel more like Timothy. I want to be like Jesus, but I also want to be like Paul, who was being like Jesus. But I'm probably more like Timothy, to be absolutely honest. Not because Timothy was young, but that was one of Timothy's issues. Compared to the people he was helping, he was probably a lot younger. As a result of being a youth, he probably lacked assertion and he lacked confidence in himself. If you read chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it speaks about, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift that which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He had spiritual gifts, but he was in danger of not stirring them up. There was something about Timothy's gifting and who he was needs stirred up. I can relate to that. He had to overcome something to stay active in his spiritual ministry and his spiritual gift. And it goes on to say, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a power and love and a sound mind. And so it seems that probably Timothy struggled with fear at times, a lack of boldness at times. And he needed to be reassured that God had not given him a spirit to dominate him that was a spirit of fear, but that the spirit was a spirit of power, enablement, and of love and of a sound mind. There were probably times when Timothy, his mind was probably perplexed and he wasn't quite sure of himself. And he was a young man and there was a lot of issues to deal with in his life and his service and his ministry. There were a lot of challenges in life. And he probably needed reassured, just like many of us, that God can give us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I believe Timothy must have been to overcome those things and to respond to all the injunctions Paul brought. Timothy must have been a man who had to make serious decisions in terms of self-discipline. And that brings me to the final point that I want to bring this morning. The final encouragement that there is something about learning to overcome in the areas of our personality and the areas of our difficulties and the areas of our challenges. Timothy is a good model and example for us. Let me unpack that just a little bit for a few minutes. I'm tempted to draw this to a close, but I think this last bit is very important. Some of you have heard me use the three D's. And some of you have heard me use the 3 Ds and you've forgotten, because I don't hear any. Oh yes, the 3 Ds, I remember those. So I've got a tip, and the 3 Ds go something like this. God has given us certain desires. That's the first D. And the third D is delight. Delight yourself in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Delight. Desire, I want to serve God. I want to pray more. Desire, I've got dreams and visions. I have a calling. I have a longing to see God do something in me and through me and in spite of me. I have a desire to grow in love, grow in faith, grow in hope. I have a desire to be a better parent, a better grandparent, a better friend, a better worker. God puts desires into our hearts. Have you experienced that? Delight is when those desires have fully grown and they're manifesting themselves fully in our lives. Desires. Delight. The 2 Ds. No, there's 3 Ds. What's the middle D? How do we get from desire to delight? Discipline.
It's good.
Intentional, proactive, quality decisions. To do the right thing continually, no matter what. And that's why God says to Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, pursue righteousness, pursue holiness, pursue love. Be intentional in it. And just a little anecdote, thinking about discipline. I hope it's okay to share this in a personal way, because you'll be able to connect with this and relate to this. But one of the little tricks that I've come across in terms of self-discipline is you've got 5 fingers. Most of us have 5 fingers. And I was encouraged to ask myself this question. What 5 daily disciplines would be a top priority for your life to bring you from desire to delight that you could do every day? And I thought about it and I prayed about it, and here are my 5 daily disciplines. And I'm sharing this because they might be relevant to you, or you may be inspired by this to lay hold of something similar. Here's my 5 disciplines. If I'm going to put my clothes on, I'll do these things every day. If I'm going to breathe, I'm going to do these things every day. Forever and ever on this planet. Number 1, every day, I'll get something from the scripture, from God, that he wants me to respond to every single day. And I'll be with him and I'll read the scriptures until I can write it down very, very clearly, very, very specifically. And God is faithful to do that. Many of you have heard of Word for Today, and I'm amazed how God uses this little booklet, Word for Today, all over the place. Write your own Word for Today. Use Word for Today for a wee while, but dare to believe that God can speak to you every morning in your personal devotional life. Take time with the scripture and say, God, I'm not leaving here, I'm not putting this coffee down until I can write something down that's clear and specific that I believe you're speaking to me. And God will give it to you.
Good.
Number 2, I've decided I will pray every day, but especially I want to deepen in praying for others. I want to pray every day, but I want to pray in praying for others. And so when you hear news like we heard the other night, and you don't know what to do, sometimes all you can do is press in God and pray. I remember stories from the past when prime ministers and presidents called nations to days of prayer and fasting when things like that happened, and it's not happening anymore. That is so sad. But surely as the church, surely as Christians, surely if I'm going to put my clothes on, I could pray every day. Sometimes it's more important to pray than tweet. It's more important to pray than complain. It's more important to pray and, as Tommy said, give an opinion.
Good.
Opinions are like noses. Everyone's got them. And every day it's a quality decision to pray, but especially to pray for others. And boy, that is a discipline, isn't it? I find it easy to pray for myself. God bless me. See, when I play football today, Lord, let me score the winning goal. And... but there's a deeper walk, isn't there? Number three and four, I'll put them together, and this may shock you and surprise you because you're so impressed by the first two. The third discipline is I will eat three meals a day with no extras except Saturday. And I will exercise four times a week. And you might think that's not very spiritual, but some people are more spiritual than God himself. God is concerned about our bodies and the health of our bodies. There's only one thing better than divine healing, and that's divine health. Not getting sick in the first place. And there is something significant about discipline in the area of eating and in the area of exercise. It even says in Timothy that exercise is of some value, but godliness is of great value. Well, if it's of some value, it must be of some value. And it is very interesting to me that when your body's overloaded with carbohydrate or whatever your poison is, have you noticed it affects your energy, your passion, your prayer life? You start reacting rather than responding. And so it may not be relevant to you, but I find that I have to exercise discipline, as Heather will testify, in those areas. Not so much the exercise. I have to discipline myself not to play football. But I certainly have to discipline myself with the eating. And the fifth and last discipline, I've made a conscious decision to respond rather than react to people, conversations, situations, and challenges every day. To be solution-orientated rather than problem-centered. And so I think discipline is a key to spiritual progress, and I think Timothy was an example. It's interesting, there are things about Timothy's eating and drinking. He seemed to have stomach problems, and he probably fasted excessively or something like that, and Paul had to sort of counsel him a wee bit about his physical health. It's not very spiritual, is it? Not very dramatic, but it's in the Bible. That Paul was concerned as a spiritual father, not just about righteousness and holiness and faith and love. He was concerned about Timothy's stomach. That's brilliant. And there's Rotson praying for stomachs this morning. Does God care about our stomachs? And our backs? And our physical health? Of course he does. But to respond rather than react was the fifth one. If you already know what your disciplines should be and you're doing it, be affirmed in them. Pat yourself on the back. If not, ask God for grace. Ask God for help. If you've no spiritual desires, ask him for spiritual desires. If you've no delight in the Lord, ask him that he would be your delight. Ask and you will receive. Ask for practical wisdom about discipline. And so just to finish and summarize, I said these are some gleanings from Timothy's example to help us respond rather than react to life's challenges, opportunities, and even current news. Let's be team people. Guard our relationships. Let's highly value character in ourselves and one another. Let's be genuine in our love for others and go deeper. And fourthly and lastly, let's be disciplined where we need to be disciplined. Amen.